The Schulerite's eyes glittered, yet he was more disciplined than the scar-faced man. His nostrils might flare, and anger might darken his face, but he made himself draw a deep breath. "Shan Wei can entrap men in many ways," he said coldly, "and arrogance of spirit, the sheer vanity that sets your own intellect higher than God's holy word, is one of the most seductive. But Mother Church is always prepared to welcome home even the worst of sinners, if their repentance and contrition are genuine."
"Or if the Inquisition tortures them long enough," Hoskins returned grimly.
"Sparing the flesh and losing the soul is scarcely the path of godly love," the Schulerite said. "And in your own case, Father, you've done enormous damage to Mother Church. We cannot permit that. So we offer you a choice. Renounce your heresy, your lies, your false accusations and vile assault on the very foundations of God's creation in this world, and Mother Church will once again embrace you."
"You mean you want me to stand in my pulpit once more and lie?" Hoskins shook his head. "I won't. You and I both know I've spoken nothing but the truth. I won't renounce it at the command of someone who continues to serve the filth and corruption festering at the heart of the temple."
"Schuler knows how to deal with Mother Church's enemies," the Schulerite said ominously, and Hoskins surprised both of them with a short, sharp bark of laughter. It was a sound of contempt, not humor.
"Do you think I didn't already realize where you were headed?"
He shook his head again, his eyes defiant.
"I know what your master in Zion did to Archbishop Erech, and I know the true reason he did it. For myself, I have no love for the Empire of Karis, but the Church of Karis knows God's enemies when it sees them. So do I, and I know who I choose to stand with."
"You speak bravely now," the Schulerite said coldly, softly. "You'll change your tune soon enough when you realize Shan Wei will not stretch forth her hand to save you from God's just wrath."
"I may."
Hoskins made no effort to hide the fear both of them knew was coiled at his core like some frozen serpent, yet his voice was steady.
"I'm only a man, not an archangel, and the flesh is weak. But whatever may be about to happen to my flesh, I will face God unafraid. I've done only what he commanded all of his priests to do. I'm sure I've made mistakes along the way. All men do that, even those called to his service. But in this much, at least, I've made no mistake, and you and I both know that's the true reason I'm here. You have to shut me up before I do even more damage to that whoremonger Clinton."
"Silence!" The Schulerite lost his temper at last, and his open palm smashed across Hoskins' face. His arm came back the other way, backhanding the bound priest. And Hoskins grunted in anguish as he tasted blood, and more blood erupted from his nostrils. Only the cords binding him to the chair kept him in it. The Schulerite stepped back abruptly, rigid arms straight down at his sides, and Hoskins spat a thick gobbet of blood on the warehouse floor.
"So, telling the truth about Clinton is a worse crime than betraying Mother Church, is it?"
he asked then, his voice thicker as he was forced to breathe through his mouth. "You profane God's very air with every word you speak," the Schulerite told him flatly. "We cast you out. We commit you to the outer darkness, to the corner of hell reserved for your dark mistress. We expunge your name from the children of God and strike you forever from the company of redeemed souls." Hoskins' stomach muscles were a solid lump of curdled lead as he heard the formal words of condemnation. They came as no surprise, not after what had already passed. Yet he discovered that actually hearing them carried a terror, a sense of finality, he hadn't anticipated even now. Perhaps, a corner of his mind suggested, that was because he hadn't realized he could feel any more terrified than he'd already felt. Yet there was more than simple fear, more than panic. There was an awareness that the moment had come for him to repay all the joys God had granted him. He watched the scar-faced man slowly, mockingly, drawing his knife once again, and despite his fear, he breathed a silent prayer of thanks. He never doubted that what was about to happen would be worse, far worse, than anything he could truly have imagined. But at least his captors lacked the full array of implements of torture the Book of Schuller prescribed for Mother Church's enemies. Whatever happened to him, he would be spared the full horror the Inquisition had inflicted upon Erech Dinis. And as he watched that knife being drawn, even as a hand jerked his head back once more, and another hand ripped his cassock down around his waist, he prayed that he would find the same courage, the same faith Dinis had found.